This episode of Discover ADN is brought to you by Alpha Efficiency, a monthly productivity magazine that focuses on helping people like you live purposeful lives by exploring new tools, techniques, and productivity principles. They offer insights for purposeful living instead of canned systems, allowing you to use only the tips and techniques that work for you. Check out Alpha Efficiency in the Apple App Store or on their website at alphaefficiency.com/magazine. Welcome to a special episode of Discover ADN. My name is Jason Irwin, and I am the host of this program. The goal of Discover ADN is to learn more about the many creative, intelligent, and interesting people that use app.net to communicate with the world, as well as offer us a chance to attach a voice to the words and avatars we see flowing through our timelines. Want to be in the show or recommend somebody you think is interesting? Get in touch on app.net by sending a message to Discover ADN. Today, I have the pleasure of talking with Jeremy Cherfis, who goes by his full name on app.net. He lives in Rome and has a passion for food that is both intriguing and infectious. Mr. Cherfis has a podcast called Eat This Podcast, which is one of the places where I have drawn inspiration for this program. One could say that if it weren't for this man, you wouldn't be hearing this show right now. Please join me in welcoming Jeremy to Discover ADN. Hello!
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very good, thank you.
Good.
Let's get right down to business. Can you tell us, when did you join app.net?
I think it was August 2012. I was pretty early on there. I'm just under 2,000 as a user number, so pretty early on.
Okay. Do you remember why you joined app.net?
Oh, yeah. I can't actually remember where I saw an article online about app.net, but I was and am quite keen on owning, not so much owning my own data, but being the customer. And I never had the sense with Facebook or Twitter or the other things that I was using, and still use a little bit. I have no expectations of them serving me. Both of those platforms are fine and great, but they're in the business of selling me to somebody else. They're not in the business of looking after me. And I've always felt that. So moving to ADN to begin with was an experiment to see whether, basically for the microblogging, whether that would work for me, who I'd find here, and being the customer and paying to be the customer was really important to me. And the reason I've stuck around is that it's been extremely worthwhile. So those are the two factors. I mean, I wouldn't have stuck around if it hadn't been for the community, but I came in order to be the customer, not the thing that was being sold, not the product.
Well, thank you for sticking around.
I think I've got more out of it than people have got out of me, but that's a silly game to play, but that's the reason. I mean, it's very simple. I get more out of ADN than I put into it even, I think. I don't know.
Okay. You use your full name on app.net. Why do you do this?
I use my full name everywhere. I can see that there are occasionally good reasons for people to use, well, there are occasionally very good reasons for people to be completely anonymous. I respect that. I would do it myself under certain circumstances. Pseudonyms, okay, but they really need to be very easy to hook up to a person. I think anonymity and pseudonymity create some of the worst behavior on the internet at the moment, because people may, for whatever reason, they don't think they're responsible for things that they don't put their names to. I put my name to good stuff. I put my name to rubbish. It's mine. I stand by it. So although I have one pseudonym on Twitter, everywhere else, and even that one, it connects straight back to who I am. It's just something I believe. I don't know. I can't explain more than that.
All right. Is there anything that you would like to see more of on app.net?
I don't know. I mean, that's a really interesting question because who knows what it can do? I mean, I've already learned to use different things in ADN. For me, it's largely about microblogging. I mean, that's the service I use most. But then I can't even remember who recommended it. Maybe it was you. You know, I've now got this Orbit thing installed on my toolbar, on my menu bar. And so I'll upload a file there and it gives me a URL instantly. So am I using app.net to substitute for other file storage places? Well, yeah, a little bit. I think what I'd really like to see from ADN is introductions to how to do more than microblogging. I mean, there are all these capabilities. You've talked and other people. I see these conversations going on. I'm kind of slightly technical, but I'm not really. And so I see people talking about having time recording using app.net or games being played using app.net as the back end, but I don't do them. And some things, what I'd like to see, some things have to do with the clients. So you complain that I don't check my private messages. Well, I use Felix on the iPhone, and Felix doesn't show me when there's a new private message. So I have to go over there and do that, but I don't. I'll check my stream. I don't check private messages. I don't check patter rooms nearly as often as I ought to, and broadcasts. So sometimes what I want is for the client to make things a little more visible. And sometimes what I want is for other people to say, you know, here's a great use case. Here's something you can do. Your link up between 10 centuries and ADN. I use that a bit by sending private messages to 10 centuries. I don't use it a lot, but I could use it more. One of the reasons I don't use it a lot is that you send the private message and I'm really bad at proofreading and it goes out and then I have to go to 10 centuries and that, you know. So we've discussed that, but none of this is fundamental. I don't have the imagination to know what else ADN could do. So for me, it's microblogging. But I like that. That's why I came.
All right. Well, let me ask you a very serious question now. Your avatar is a young Professor Farnsworth in right. disco attire. Right. So I guess disco comes back in 1,000 years. Can you?
Does everybody know who Professor Farnsworth is?
If not, they will see it in the show notes. Could you tell us why is Professor Farnsworth your avatar?
Jason, I don't know. Look, for a while I had Disco Stu from The Simpsons. Why Professor Farnsworth? Well, first of all, I love Futurama. I mean, I think Futurama is one of the funniest cartoon series ever. At so many levels. I mean, the sciencey, geeky, nerdy jokes in Futurama are just perfect. So that's one reason. So, okay, well, why, given Futurama, well, you know, I'm not Fry, not least because I think 20 Millions is Fry anyway. I don't see myself as Fry. I'm not Leela. I'm not Bender. Sometimes oh God! Now I'm blocking his name. The Doctor, the Lobster,
Zoidberg.
Oh God, Zoidberg. That's right. Sometimes I'm Zoidberg, but mostly I'm the Professor. Partly because he's in charge, and I like to think I'm in charge. Of course, he's not really in charge. And also, I just love it when he says, "Good news, everybody!" And it's a disaster. I mean, that to me is just perfect. You know, he's forever coming up with these good news things and well, I just identify strongly with him. Why the young Professor Farnsworth? Well, hey, you know, who wants to be the old Professor Farnsworth?
That's fair. Okay, let's change gears a little bit. Can you tell us, what do you like to be known for?
What would I like to be known for? I like to be known for logicality to some extent, rationality to some extent, but not overwhelmingly so. I no longer get into the kind of discussions I got into as a young man with people trying to change their views. One of my mottos is the Jonathan Swift, you cannot hope to reason a man out of a position that he didn't reason himself into. So I've kind of given up on that. So I'm much less, I don't proselytize as much about anything. I happen to be an atheist, and I happen to have a very strong belief in Darwinian natural selection. But if you don't agree with me, that's fine. You know, I just won't pay attention to some of the things you say. I like to be known for that. I like to be known for a certain humility is the wrong word, but I will listen to people, except on certain topics. I'm very, very curious. I mean, one of my you can see that as in as positive and negative. I mean, I'm interested in all sorts of different things. I'm interested in science, but I'm also interested in art. I'm interested in history. I'm interested in food. I'm just a whole range of things, and I can't settle to anything, and that's a problem too. I'm not expert on anything really. I like finding out about stuff, and then I like sharing what I've found out, and that's why, I mean, my main job, I see myself as a kind of journalist communicator type.
Okay. You've mentioned that you're very interested in food, and you also have a wonderful podcast, Eat This Podcast, where you talk about food. That is a rather unique subject to discuss. Why did you choose that subject?
Well, let me say, first of all, thank you for your kind words about Eat This Podcast. In a way, it's not about food in the way that, you know, you say it's unique. It's a unique approach, or it's not even that unique, but there are a few similar approaches. Most websites and most podcasts about food are about this fabulous restaurant we went to, or this hot cocktail that we're drinking, or, you know, hey, have you tried this, noodle. To me, food is a lens through which you can look at so many different things. And that is part of when I say I'm a bit of a butterfly, a bit of a dilettante. That's part of it. You know, the most recent episode of Eat This Podcast, well, I don't know when this will go out, but the most recent one prior to this discussion is about food prices and urban violence. That's kind of not about food. It's about how people eat and about how regimes respond to threats. It's about how people try and determine their own future. It's about all sorts. It's about global trade. Before that, I was talking about the loss of diversity in global diets and how a few crops have become more and more predominant in the global diet. And so what you're eating in Japan, or what people are eating in Japan, and what people are eating in Italy, and what people are eating in Brazil are becoming more and more similar. And that has all sorts of effects on our vulnerability to climate change, for example. Before that, I was talking about, well, it was another food price one, but I've talked about pasta. I've talked about making sausages. I've talked about brewing beer. And that wasn't about brewing. It was about what constitutes a craft beer. Is it just but some bearded hippie is making beer in his basement? Or is there something else there? So food for me is a way to ask all sorts of questions about the lives we lead and the world we live in. And that's how I see it. That's how I use it. The podcast in that sense is not about food. It's about the world, but it happens to look at the world through food.
Yeah, the last episode that you had was really quite good. It allowed me to see things that I had never actually considered before.
Thank you for saying that. And that gratifies me.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for putting it out. One of the other episodes that I really enjoyed was the one where you interviewed a woman in California who had opened a bakery. Mm-hmm. And so she was being an entrepreneur. And one of the ways she started was she had her daughter go and buy the bread that she sold the baker, which right. I thought was rather ingenious.
And not only that, yes, I agree. Absolutely ingenious. Brilliant way of creating demand. Not only that, but if you remember, she also had her daughter tell all her friends. This was the 90s, so it's way before putting up an Instagram of the great bread you're eating. And it was social marketing. I mean, this is something, it's interesting you raise that, because I think all of these things that are happening on the internet, for example, many, many, many of them are not new to the internet. The internet may make them easier. The internet may make things happen more rapidly. But just about everything has a precedent in real life or pre-internet time. From phishing to spam to viral videos in a way. I mean, there have been viral news stories that were fake. Everything has its, I think the internet's just, it's another tool. It's a really interesting tool, but there's nothing special about it.
I think this is a good transition point for us to move on to the final part of our episode. And this is when we get to recommend some of the people who make our timelines just so interesting. So could you recommend for us three people on app.net that everybody should follow, as well as why we should follow them?
Okay. I'm a little nervous about the everybody should follow, because I think one of the great things about app.net is it makes it reasonably easy to follow, not follow. You know, not everybody is to everybody's taste. So I don't think everybody should follow these people, but I think everybody should give them a try. My first one would be Olusei. He's really interesting. I mean, he thinks very deeply about technology and the future. He's very much readier than I am to, I was going to say argue, but that's not, I mean, to continue a discussion into areas that many people find uncomfortable and don't like being challenged by, but they can't actually refute him, because he's very well read and he's hugely opinionated. So am I, hugely opinionated. But he's really good. And I enjoy his posts even when I don't understand them. Which is half and half. I mean, he's crazed for Formula One racing. You know, I mute those conversations. So he would be one. Another one would be Larry, who used to be at LA and is now at Larand, I think it is. You'll put that in the show notes. Because he found LA was just too full of dross. So he's now got a kind of quieter group of people that he follows and follow him as L.A. Rand. Again, very, very worldly. It's interesting now I'm thinking about it, because my third one will come up too. But one of the interesting things about ADN is much more so than other microblogging and social sites, is that the people seem to be more interesting. That, you know, it's self-selecting to some extent, but you've got far fewer parochial people who haven't been outside their own state or country or province or anything. People here, I mean, there you are, sitting in Japan, Canadian, you've done all sorts of stuff. Here I am, sitting in Italy, from England, born in Africa, you know. So, and Larry's one of those. He's been around, he has a knowledge of Europe, and his religious affiliations don't bother me in the least. It's interesting to listen in on his conversations about things like Orthodox Christianity. So he's another one I always, and he's good on food, he's good on technology. I like the fact that he's very keen on Windows, which I'm not, but it's an antidote to all of us Apple so-called fanboys. So he's another one I really enjoy eavesdropping in on his conversations and taking part in them too. And my third one would be Isaac, who's I think he's on the West Coast. He has a really interesting podcast, which is kind of soliloquizing me talking into a tape recorder. Oh, we mustn't call them me talking into a device, kind of podcast, sharing his thoughts on stuff. I came upon him mostly when he was talking about Bitcoin, although he hasn't done that much. He did some good stuff on Bitcoin. He has health issues, which he shares about. He was in Yemen at some stage, and that's interesting, you know. But if you call me in a month's time, I'll still be following those people, but I might have found other people to recommend. And that's one of the things about ADN. I don't prune my list very much. I started doing it, but it's actually not that easy. I mean, if you want to build something that allows me to automatically unfollow anybody who hasn't posted in the last 6 months. I don't think you can automatically do it. You can do it using Duerig has this thing for last posts, but you have to do each one individually. And that would be going back to our earlier question, I think it'd be nice to have some of that stuff automated. And some of the stats, Appneticus and other people's stats, I don't use them often enough because they're not easy to get to. You know, I don't know how the microblogging clients could maybe incorporate buttons that'll take you to those websites. I mean, it's all very complicated. It's still what, less than 2 years old. So it's got to grow, and it's got to grow in ways that make it easier to use the other aspects.
Well, that's certainly some food for thought for the developers in the audience. All right, thank you very much for your recommendations, and I'd like to thank you once again for taking the time to talk with me today.
Yeah, I must say I'm really enjoying listening to Discover ADN. I don't listen as quickly as some people because I tend to wait until I'm walking the dog. But when I get there, I'm enjoying it. So thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you for saying that. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. All right. I hope we can do this again sometime.
Okay. Bye, Jason.
Bye for now. This concludes this special episode of Discover ADN. Believe it or not, Mr. Chirfus was supposed to be on the very first recording of this show, but due to my lack of preparation and skill, the end result just didn't turn out right. When I asked if we could record the show again, Jeremy was more than happy to help me out. So, once again, I'd like to thank him for taking the time to sit down with me a second time to ask many of the very same questions. Show notes for today's episode can be found online at discoveradn.10centuries.com. That's the number 10, centuries.com. And I would also like to thank our sponsor for this episode, Alpha Efficiency. Have a nice day!